Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour, time when we go to God to study His Word. Always it's a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God. And I'm Diane Adams, a servant of God. And this is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. I thank you all for joining me on tonight, taking time out of your busy schedule. And I thank God for the opportunity for us to come together to fellowship, hallelujah, with one another, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. Lord, I thank you, and I thank each and every one of you. At this time, we're going to explore on the Word of God together. Tonight, our topic is Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is the living Word. We're going to come from the book of John, the first chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 1 through 14. Jesus is the living Word. At this time, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace. And this song that I'm playing, I think is appropriate because they say, great and faithful is our God. And I'm going to play this song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. I'm looking for the song. I had pulled it up. One moment. Here we go. The title of the song is Faithful is Our God. And when you listen to this song, he's saying, Jesus is our God. And it relates to the lesson so much because Jesus became the living Word. Here's a song as it's played. We'll be back and go to the throne of grace.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is
faithful
our God.
Is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Yes, he is. Come on, say
faithful.
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 Faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take that what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today,
for I shall recover it all. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God.
Everybody say
faithful.
Faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Say thankful.
Faithful.
So faithful.
Praise God. Praise God. With God, everything the devil stole, we shall recover it all. God is not through with us yet. And we all know that we have the victory. Hallelujah, through Christ Jesus. And at this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic and you could begin to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, dear Lord God, we humble ourselves unto you on tonight. We have joined ourselves together, the body of Christ, to come before your throne of grace where mercy can be found. Heavenly Father, we came to explore the word that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of you. And Lord, we're going to take this time and we're going to open up our hearts and our mind that we can receive what the Spirit has to say to us. And Holy Ghost, I ask that you don't allow the word to return void, that you will give illumination, revelation, and the true intent that God had it placed in the word of God, the Holy Bible. Heavenly Father, we come because we love you. We come so we can know you by studying your word. We come, dear God, because we have to give you glory in our deeds. And studying the word of God is one of the deeds. And Lord, we come as a sacrifice, taking the time to do the things for ourselves that is necessary for us to go on in this life. Lord, we thank you and we praise your holy name. God, we can't make it without you. And for that, I say thank you. And I thank you, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and thank God. Well, it's time to explore the word of God. Again, I'll say the title because I said, join in, and the title of the lesson is Jesus, the Living Word. We're coming from the book of John. First John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. Always, I give a little background or introduction about a person, place, a thing. And tonight, I'm going to talk about John, the apostle. You see, the Apostle John is the author of 5 New Testament books, the Gospel of John, and 3 short epistles or letters, as we would say, that also bear his name, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we also know that he penned the book of Revelation. John was a part of Jesus' inner circle, and along with Peter and James, you know. You could see in the Bible many times when Jesus went in the garden and he had the other men, the other disciples to wait. He took with him Peter and James and John. That's why they are called the inner circle. You see, his importance with the 12 grew as he matured. And after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he became a pillar in the Jerusalem church. And finally was excised to the island of Patmos by the Romans, where he received from God the majestic visions that compiled the book of Revelation. See, the Romans wanted to shut John up from talking about God, so they put him away on the island. But you see, you got to understand all of God's will. God allowed it because he had something special for John. And John needed to be, you know, taken away from everything else. So you see what the devil had set up for the bad for John, God had turned it around for the good because he was placed on an island where he could fellowship with God, concentrate, minister, you know, he could meditate on what God was telling him and showing him. And it became a beautiful thing when it was all said and done. And that's how we have the book of Revelation, the last book in the Holy Bible. You see, I don't want you to be confused with this, John. Many people are really confused about John the Baptist and John the Apostle. This John, who I'm talking about, is not John the Baptist, who was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. That's why when they usually say the Apostle John, they'll tell you that he is the brother of James. Anytime in the Bible when they say the father of such and such, the brother of, they're trying to identify the characters because so many characters in the Bible had the same name. One example is Mary Magdalene. Magdalene wasn't her last name. It was where she was from. But they was letting you know what Mary it was. Sometimes they say Mary of Bethesda. You know, so they said the John the Apostle is John, and many times they say the brother of James, and John the Baptist, they sometimes say he was the forerunner, two separate people. You see, him and his brothers was called the sons of thunder. You see that in the Bible when they speak of them. And where in the, you know, it tells us, by saying sons of thunder, it tells us about John's personality. You see, both of the brothers had a zeal, a passion, an ambition. And in the early days with Jesus, that time, John was rashly, he was recklessly, impulsively, and aggressively. That's how John was. And yet he wrote five books in the Holy Bible. God revealed the revelation of Jesus Christ to him for revelation. John was the one that was left at the cross when all of the other disciples had left. John was, who was the one who Jesus gave his mother to be cared for. So even though we see John's beginning, we know some things once he matured. So when we think about John, we have to realize that John, in his gospel, many of the gospels of Jesus Christ, they call them synoptic gospels. John is not included in a synoptic gospel. The synoptic gospel is the gospel where they talk about what Jesus did, the miracles, the healing. In the book of John, John talks about who Jesus is. Hallelujah. And when we study and we go into John, the first chapter, we're going to see why what I just said is relevant, and it is true. So in spite of his youthful expressions and misdirected passions, sound like some of us, huh? The Bible say that John aged well, and he began to understand the need for humility in those who desire to be great. You remember it was John's mama that went and asked Jesus, you know, to let her son, one be at the left hand and one at the right, thinking more of themselves as they want, thinking more of themselves than they should have. And Jesus politely explained. And that's why he began to understand humility must be the first characteristic of someone who wants to be great. So we're going to go into the scriptures at this time, and I'm going to start at John, the first chapter. And it starts off, and it goes as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm going to read it again slowly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And John go on to say, and the Word was God. I told you that John's gospel tell us who Jesus is and not just what he did. You see, one of the most important titles of Jesus, the Christ, is Logos, which means Word. I went to the Webster Dictionary and look up Logos. And this is what it says: the divine wisdom manifested in the creation, government, redemption of the world, and often identifies with the second person of the Trinity. Now that's Webster, y'all. He's recognized. Hallelujah, y'all. He's recognized by world's dictionaries. You see, the idea behind the title embosses God's revelation of himself to humanity. See, God wanted to be seen by man, but God is a spirit. And God allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh and to be born as a virgin, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. You know, Jesus told the disciples one time, because they wanted to know, or could they see God? And Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. He was testifying, I and the Father is one. You know, I'm saying this and going slowly and breaking it down, because there's a lot of people who just can't understand the Trinity. And there's others who believe not that there is a Trinity. I want you to know the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but John lets us know by the words he wrote that Jesus is God in the flesh. You see, Jesus is God nature. John is letting us know that Jesus is fully human and fully God. Although Jesus took upon himself full humanity and lived as a man, he never ceased to be the eternal God who has always existed, the creator and the sustainer of all things and the source of eternal life. Jesus, a part of God's master plan for the redemption of man after sin into the world. Jesus. Jesus. This is the truth about Jesus and the foundation of all truth. This is where our hope lies. This is where our salvation lies. This is how we live eternally. This is how we operate in this sin-sick world. Jesus is how we wake up in the morning and go to sleep, because all of God's grace through Christ Jesus allows us to be who we are, do what we do. God's grace through Jesus Christ. If we cannot or do not believe this basic truth, y'all, we're not going to have enough faith to trust our eternal destiny in him. If you don't believe Jesus is who he is, how could you believe that he could save you? How you could believe that he could sustain you? How could you believe anything of him than a mere man, as some other denominations have done, some religions have formed? They say, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he was a good prophet. He was a good teacher. But John lets us know it was more than that. And if you can't believe it, you won't have enough faith to trust our eternal destiny in him. You see, John wrote this gospel to build our faith, y'all, and confidence in Jesus Christ, so that we may believe that he truly was and is the Son of God. Jesus was sent by the Father as Jesus the Christ to be revealed in the flesh for our salvation. God was right there. He was invited in Jesus, and Jesus in him, two natures working on our behalf for our good. You see, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, and he became fully God and fully man, two natures in one person. Jesus, y'all. Jesus. Jesus, do you believe it? Because I come to tell you tonight, if you don't believe what John had wrote in the book of John, and then in the book of Revelation, and then in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, if you don't believe it, you can't achieve it. And you'll never achieve it. And I just say it, you won't have enough faith to work in that God and Jesus is who they say they are. In verse 2 through 4, they say, John goes on with this. He say, the same was in the beginning with God. Who? The same who? Jesus. All things were made by him. See, that's why they have so much about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God gave him the authority. And look what it said. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything made that was made. Jesus. We talking about before the foundation of the world. We talking about the creation. For his folks say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined it in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, this scripture lets us know that Jesus was with God even in the beginning. We think about Jesus and we're so grateful for what he did. But can you imagine how hard it would be to be in glory? To be in glory with his Father and the Father's Spirit, to come down to this wicked world full of evil and be handled by man. That's why when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to God and said, if there's any other way you could do it, take this cup from me. But he also said, not my will, but thy will. Jesus came down from glory to this sin-sick world with all of these sin-sick people after man had decided to lean to his own understanding and mess with God had created up. Jesus said, here am I, I'll go. You see, this scripture lets us know Jesus was with God from the beginning. When God was creating man, he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. You find that in Genesis 1 and 26. So right then and there in the beginning, in the first chapter, God is giving us an announcement that he, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was making things happen. Why would God say let and only speaking to himself? You should wonder who is God talking to here. Who is God referencing by saying us and our? Let us make man in our image. He was speaking of his Holy Trinity. The Godhead, God, the Father, the Son, God, the Son, Jesus. The Son of God and the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. God is not a single being, but three complete separate beings, three identities that are the same. You see, the Word was with God, and the Word was God that we read in John 1 and 1. And this is an example of how Jesus did exist in the beginning. When God created, he made something from nothing. God created. He's the only creator of all things. Man cannot and has never been able to create anything. Because what man does is they'll take some things that God created, turn them around, arrange or rearrange them, and come up with another aspect of that thing that was created. So God is the only creator, and man can only invent. You see, God used the things that were created by God. Man used the things created by God and put them with other things, as I say, to invent something new from things that was already created. And we have to remember that we are created beings. God created us, y'all. Don't ever get it twisted. There's so many people think that they're in total control and they got it going on and they did it and it's all me and they did something by themselves. They couldn't create themselves. They couldn't become a seed and be implanted in a woman's womb, lay there 9 months, and come forth into a human being. God is the creator of all things. And because God created us, we should not be boastful or prideful about anything, because then you begin to think more of yourself than you should. You see, there's no such thing as a self-made, as some people believe. And these are some of the things they say to prove their point. And this is how they probably been feeling all of their lives. And it's embedded in their spirit. Some of them say, I have no support. I'm just by myself. I don't have nobody to give me a helping hand. So I went through life doing everything on my own. And they begin to think that they self-sufficient. If God don't give you breath, you can't breathe. And many other people say, my life has been so hard. You don't understand my story. You don't know what I went through. And I pulled myself up. I pulled myself up. And I became who I am today. Again, wrong answer. And some believe I have achieved everything I have because of me. Again, wrong answer. You see, what they don't realize, that even though you had a bad life, and even though maybe your mama didn't do what she should have did, and even though, you know, you were poor and had a hard life, you got to realize God was right there in the plan. How you think you were able to pull up? How you think, you know, many times people in their own home, by being dysfunctional, they look at the way others operate. And if it seems good to them and right, they begin to do it like that. Who you think connected you to be able to be with the other people? Who you think allowed you to be exposed to different areas in your life? But they rather hold on to it was this or it was that. And they say it all of their lives. And it becomes their reality. It becomes their calling card. And many times it becomes their badge of honor. God created us. And every life experience that you had, God used all of them life experiences to get you to where you at, that you think you got yourself there. Don't ever get it twisted. God was right there in the plan. God was right there leading, guiding, and protecting you. God connect you with other sources and people. It wasn't you. It was God. You got to remember, you only exist because God made you. And you only have what you got. I became who you became because that's the way God created for you before the foundation of the world. See, we got to take what God says. God say he took his hand and formed you, Psalms 139, in your mother's womb. He said, I know you. And one of the most popular scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not evil. God. But we leave all that out. Because you see, you know, really in the beginning, we wasn't probably knowing. We didn't know God. And we didn't know him like we know him. So we was making it up as we go. We was leaning to the best that we could of the understanding that we thought. But we got to realize it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, God made each one of us according to his master plan. He designed us for his creation because of his divine purpose. And for his glory. Jesus is known as the light of the world. In him, life, which represents salvation and deliverance, Jesus is the true light. He helps us to see our way to God and show us how to walk along the way. You see, without Jesus, we would never be able to find our way. We didn't go looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for us. And the scripture said, while we were yet in our sin, Jesus came and took us in. You see, the darkness was not understood, the scripture said, which means darkness of evil will never overcome or extinguish God's light. You know how you be in a room? And the room may be dark, and you switch on the light. When light appears, darkness has to flee. That's why I see all of these young people have a veil over their eyes, and it's covering their eyes from the light, and they can't see. The veil has to be removed so that they can see the light, because all they can see is darkness, and they're enjoying it, and they're loving it. They need light in their lives. And then and only then will there be changes. You see, without light, you will be slipping into darkness, falling, tripping, and stumbling because of the darkness. You know when you was doing dark and evil things, how much problems you had, how much you had to watch yourself, how you kept making mistakes over and over and over again, the same mistakes, because of the darkness. And when there is no light, we can't see. And verse 6, 7, 8, 9 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John was letting them know, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighted every man that comes into the world. See, this John is still proving and letting us know who Jesus was. Now, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He was 6 months older than Jesus. And God used John the Baptist to start preaching and asking him to repent. You see, before John the Baptist came, it was the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament began. And between that was 400 years. And during that 400 years, they didn't have a man of God, a solid man of God, preaching and teaching. People were doing what they wanted to do. God knew in his ultimate wisdom what he was sending his son to do But he knew the hearts of man were so waxed cold that he wanted to soften those hearts. So before Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptist preached and baptized repentance. He started telling them that someone would come. But I'm not the one, but someone would come, which is the light of the world. You see, John in this scripture I just read is John the Baptist. So John the Baptist and John the Apostle is not the same. You see, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, not the Apostle John or the writer. So whenever you hear John the Baptist, they always say with him that he was the forerunner. It means he came before Jesus preaching and teaching Jesus to get the people hearts and mind ready to receive him when he comes. See, John started prepping them up. What an awesome God we serve. God had given Jesus the assignment. But we always say wherever God guides, he provides. So God already had something in place, paving the way, letting them know who you was, getting their hearts and mind ready so when you come. Hallelujah. You see, John the Baptist understood his specific role to play in the world, announcing the coming of the Savior, and to put all his energy in that task, John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist came with a word announcing the coming of the Savior. John came with a word of repentance. He was preparing the way. Hallelujah. For Jesus Christ, by getting the hearts and the minds of the people ready to receive the Savior. You see, John was the bearer of the word as a witness of the light. John made it clear that he was not the light, but was used by God to bear witness of that light. He is letting us know Jesus is the light, not ourselves. Take that light off you as if you're on a stage in Hollywood. Nobody helped me. My family didn't do anything for me. John the Baptist also let us know that the light is available for everyone, but all will not accept it, and they will continue to walk in darkness. You either accept it or you don't. And see, verse 10 and 11, you see, he was in the world, talking about Jesus now. The writer through John the Baptist scriptures in there to let us know, give us witness from someone else that was great in the word of God, was saying the same thing that he was saying. You see, but now the scripture is shifted back to God, to Jesus. It said he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Come on, y'all. He came into his own, and his own received him not. You know, he came to the Jews first, and he was a Jew, and they received him not. He came into the world, and the world knew him not, and his own, the Jews whom he elected to be his promised people to lead other nations to him, received him not. God had revealed himself to the Jews as their loving father. Y'all remember? Back in the old days, the testimony, he got them out of Egypt. He divided the Red Sea. He killed all the firstborns of Pharaoh so Pharaoh could let them go. He let them wind in the wilderness, and he fed them bread from heaven, manna. He dropped meat from the sky. He allowed them to get water from a rock. He had showed them who he was. He gave them evidence of who he was. He showed them his power and what he was working with. And yet, some have received them not. Verse 12 and 13, it says, but as many as received him, to him he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Some didn't accept him. He said, but if you did, and I hope this talking to each and every one of us tonight, he has given us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. He's talking about Jesus in his description. He wasn't born of blood. You know, a man's sperm had blood in it and be placed in a woman. He wasn't born. He was born the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. So this is letting you know that a man didn't create Jesus for God. A man didn't create Jesus for God. See what it say here in 13, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Sex, the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man, but of God. Can you believe me tonight? Can you truly understand who God is and who Jesus and God as one? You see, all who welcome Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives are reborn spiritually, receiving new life from God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, this new light changes us from inside out, arranging and rearranging our attitudes, our want appetites, our desires and motives. Being born makes you physically allow and places you in the parents' family. See, born physically put you in your parents' family, but being born of God make you spiritually alive and put you in the family of God. You see, once we accept the new life we're given through Jesus Christ, we become the sons and the daughters of God, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and 14 say, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. In love, they were predestined or foreordained to be adopted as children of God by faith in Jesus Christ and to be openly admitted to all the privilege of the relationship with him. We came in full pledge. You know, when children are adopted legally, they have all legal rights to the family as anyone else. This scripture is, you know, letting us know that we have full rights and full participation along with Jesus Christ in God if we submit ourselves. And the last verse says, and the word was made flesh, the word which is Jesus Christ. And the title of my lesson is Jesus is the Living Word. You see, Jesus is the living word because the word is the word of God. But Jesus lived the word of God in every aspect. He showed us how to love, how to be compassionate, how to be long-suffering. If they hit you on one cheek, put the other one. Love your enemies like love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. He gave us all of these examples of how to live, which is listed in the word of God. So that's why Jesus is the living word, because he lived the word. He became all of the aspects of the word, all of the aspects of the word in his living. Come on, y'all. See, we are living the word in many areas in our lives, and we have some areas that we have to line up with the word. But you see, I'm going to read it again. And the word was made flesh. Jesus was made flesh, born of the virgin, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, John. You see, made flesh indicate the incarnation of God to the Son. The term incarnation refers here to the miracle of God, the Son, becoming human yet remained in God. This is the second person of the Trinity. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people, but now God dwells within his people by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. By becoming flesh, Jesus became the perfect teacher. Through the life of Jesus, we see how God thinks and therefore how we should. Come on, y'all. As the perfect example, as a model of what we are to become, he shows us how to live and gives us the power to live that way. As the perfect sacrifice, he became a sacrifice for all our sins, and his death satisfied God's requirement for the removal of sins, allowing us to be able to have fellowship with him. It's all about Jesus, his death, burial, and his resurrection. When Christ was born, God became man, but he was not part man and part God. He was completely man and completely God. Before Christ came, people could know God only partially. But when Jesus came, it was the full revelation of God in Jesus Christ. After Christ came, people knew God fully because he became visible and tangible in Christ. Christ is the perfect expression of God in human form. There are no errors. There are two errors. There are errors people make about Jesus when they summarize his humanity or to minimize his divinity. Come on, y'all. They make errors when they do that. Jesus is both man and God. And after doing this lesson tonight, I hope we can now see that Jesus was with God from the beginning and will remain with him through eternity. Jesus was a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. I want you to know that Jesus was not an afterthought. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments? Anything anyone would like to say? Anybody want to say something about what they know about what was said? Anybody want to thank God for Jesus? If not, we could have our benediction. Would someone like to do the benediction tonight? Would anybody like to pray? Caller, your number is 504-615-19. Your mic is open. Hallelujah, and I thank God for you.
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing fine, my brother.
Yeah, blessing. Powerful dissertation tonight. It shows several things, not only the importance of Jesus, but it also showed the importance of those of us who have taken on the responsibility. You know, as, in verse 12, it says, as men as received him, he gave them power to become. So I think that it's important that, that people realize who they are in God. I think for too long the church have made people think that they're not worthy of God or they're not godly. But the same Jesus you talked about tonight says, isn't it written in your law that you're God, referring to Psalms 82 and 6. So I think that a lot is going on in the world now. You have a lot of people professing faith, no matter what religion it is, but we see a lot of destruction. If you look at the news, it's disheartening. If, you know, if just look at life around us, every day in this city, 5 or 6 people shot, 3 or 4 killed. And, you know, the church is supposed to be the place of power. And the things that you read tonight and spoke on tonight is about power, but where's the power? You know, do people realize that they are powerful? Do people realize who they are when the Bible say, and he gave them power to become? You know, do people really get who they are? Do people really get, you know, because when they was on the boat and the winds was raging and they woke up Jesus and he says, oh, ye of little faith. In other words, he said, you're faithless and perverse generation. In other words, why did he tell them that? Because they didn't realize who they were. And I think as long as we don't know who we are, we continue to depend on other people for power that God has given to us. Because in Jeremiah, God says that I'm going to reveal myself to you from the least to the greatest. And, you know, I think that need awakening and the church need to learn who they are. And I think the scripture is clear on not only who Jesus was, but who you are, or who we are, I should say. And my prayer is that, you know, that this powerful lesson that you gave on tonight, people realize who they are in God. And when people realize who they are in God, then they can do the thing. Then they can go ye therefore and spread the good news. What's the good news? Not that you damn them going to hell, none of that, but that you've been delivered out of the hands of and you've been made whole in God. So thank you tonight for the word. I just wanted to expound upon that and just say that a little bit. You know, as much I can say, but I'm not. I'm just going to cut it there. But again, I'd like to thank you for your dedication and your willingness to put yourself out on the forefront, in the forefront. But also, you know, my hope is that people realize not who Jesus was, but who they are because of Jesus. God bless you and thank you once again. Bless and peace. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my brother. And I often speak that you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is, till you know Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit. You'll never know fully who you are. That's why so many people are looking for love in the wrong places. And one of the captions, when I put it online in the studio, I said, I did a little note because you could just put something out there. And I put out there, people will never read the word, but they'll read you. See, that's what was with Jesus. That's how Jesus became the living word. And those who began to believe is because they read the word through his life. And the same thing with us. People won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. And my question would be tonight, what would they see? God is strengthening us to do everything he wants us to do by his power and his might, and our power and our might and our weakness. He is our strength. But we have to, we just have to believe it to achieve it. And if you don't know it, you can't believe it. You got to study the word, as 2 Timothy 2:15 say, study to show yourself approved. If you're not studying it, you don't know who God is. You don't know who he truly is. God took time and even revealed himself through the Son and allowed himself to become part man so that we could see and read. He made himself visible for us as Jesus walked the earth in his mission, his ministry for those 3 years. And you saw everything he did. And that was representation of God. Then you had the Old Testament for all the miracles and things that God does and did for his people. And yet the scripture says they, you know, received him not. But we just have to stand tall in the midst of the storm because we know who we are. Many of us, with everything that's going on, we know that God is still in control. We still can hold firmly to our faith. We also know that we have the victory and our hope is secured by what Jesus done, is doing, and promised to do. And I pray that we just go forth in the mighty name of Jesus through all the sickness and disease and sick minds and evil. Because I come to tell you tonight, evil does what evil does, and it ain't going to stop. See, you know, evil ain't like Christianity. Evil don't take no time out. It don't go on vacation. Come on, y'all. Evil keep doing what it does, like an energized bunny. How you think you see so much evil right now? Because evil is perfecting its game. But we know we have the victory. We know in the end we win. But we got to go through this because the Bible told us we were living perilous times because men would only be lovers of themselves. Hallelujah. All they're going to do is lean to their own understanding. All they're going to do is make it up as they go. Like a little bit what I was talking about tonight, I'm in control of my life. Nobody helped me. I figured this out. And it becomes their reality, and it's crazy. Reality is only good for them, but reality don't always be real. It's in a mind thing, an individual mind thing. And as we talked in this same scripture about the light, they're walking and slipping in darkness, y'all, because there is no light in their lives. And as my brother said so eloquently, you got to know who you are. We are ads and journey ads. And I even took a little time to say we had full benefits coming out of the gate. We didn't have to worry about seniority because the first could be last and the last could be first. We are the sons and daughters of Christ. And when Jesus died, he took away the punishment of sin. And right now, after Jesus came in our lives, he gave us the power against sin. And when Jesus comes back, sin is going to be removed because we're going to take off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. Not what we did, it's what Jesus has done. All by God's grace through Christ Jesus. Didn't the scripture say everything was made by him and by him everything was made? That's why they have that scripture. All by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Because the scripture that John lets us hear is say that everything was made through him and by him was nothing made. So everything that comes your way is God's grace through Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. But that's our lesson for tonight. Anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button on your phone. And I don't know about you, but the day was Today, God really allowed me to see the hand of God operating in my life, the different little things that I had decided to do and how they all got done. And I ain't talking about cooking no food or nothing. I'm talking about being of service. And I saw the hand of God. And the reason I saw the hand of God, because it's the work of God working in us that allows us to see the hand. And I realized every step I made, everything that I did, everything that I accomplished was the works of God in me. And now I can sit here and say, I saw the hand of God operating in my life. And I have more to thank him for. And that's what let me know I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. God will give you the strength to do everything that he has assigned for you to do. That's why we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. Whatever God has for you to do, he will strengthen you. He will allot the time. He will give you the provisions. You just got to show up. So that's our lesson tonight. If anybody would like to pray, you can. If anybody would like to do a benediction, you can. Just press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. God is extending this invitation. God is extending this invitation. Caller, your number is 678-598. Your mic is open.
Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for the word that went forth. Lord, now let us be doers of the word. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We know that you left your word as an instruction book, as a compass, as a moral guide, as a basis of instruction for daily living. Now, Lord, we're going to be careful to give you all the honor and all the praise for everything you allow us to do. Because we know it's not by our might or our strength, but through you and the Holy Spirit that we move and we breathe. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. That was Minister Paula Cloud. If anyone else would like to say anything, you can. This is God's time. He has afforded us the privilege to come together. The body of Christ partakers of the household of faith. Anyone would like to say anything, you can. I thank God that he gave us a forum where we could talk back to one another, interject. You say it's some things, brother, that just reinforced my faith. And that's what it's all about. We are all being taught that we may teach. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, my sisters and brothers in Christ, we'll meet back next Wednesday at the 8:30 hour. But until then, I pray that everyone go in peace. And even though we're in the midst of this turmoil and tribulations and these perilous times, that God keeps us and gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. And that our joy remain full, knowing that God's got this under control. Knowing that none of this is taking God by surprise. And God has made us promises and he don't go back on them. So we're going to be all right. In the mighty name of Jesus. Until next week, good night.